Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
What an incredible morning we have been having already here. There we go. I got the right headset on now. Man, Jesse Ramos, Americans for Prosperity, Montana. What a morning we've been having already. Hey, if you're just joining us here with Montana Talks, don't worry. We are going to have a lot of content for you, some live content, some of the stuff that we captured earlier as well. Even if we don't get to it all today, boy, are we going to have more for you tomorrow and to use on Friday as well. But yeah, we caught up with almost the entire congressional delegation already. Congressman Troy Downing is going to join us here in just a few minutes. But Jesse Ramos, what a day yesterday. Forget the morning today already, but even just yesterday, you and I running into Vice President J.D. Vance and then catching up with Senator Steve Daines right after that. Wasn't that cool?
It was unbelievable. And then, of course, we saw Chairman Jim Jordan there as well in the halls right after we had the opportunity to see Vice President Vance. It's been awesome just tagging along as like your poor man's Eric Erickson over here. So I like it.
Yeah, no, that was so cool running into Jim Jordan. And we talked about seeing him last summer. Well, the summer before last. And you know, with Francis and Big Fork and the whole crew at the Range Riders ballpark there in Kalispell. And so it was fun running into him at the Capitol. But yeah, here is part of, this is the final couple of minutes. So we were literally standing right there as Vice President J.D. Vance came out of the Mansfield room right next to the U.S. Senate chamber and started addressing folks right there about the Schumer shutdown and more. Let me jump right into his remarks.
Yeah, look, we talked about that, and the point that I made to my Republican colleagues, recognizing there's a diversity of opinions about it, is that the tariffs give us the ability to put American workers first. They force American industry to reinvest in the United States of America instead of a foreign country. They're also incredible leverage for the President of the United States in negotiating these trade deals overseas. If you look at what we're doing in Asia, if you look at all of the trade deals, the trade barriers that have been dropped by foreign countries on American consumers, they are happening because the President of the United States has been willing to use tariffs to give American workers and American farmers a better deal. To vote against that is to strip that incredible leverage from the President of the United States. I think it's a huge mistake, and I know most of the people there agree with you.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Now, earlier in his remarks, then, of course, he left the Senate side of the Capitol at that point. But earlier in his remarks, which we'll share for you later on the show, he also addressed the Schumer shutdown and the impacts on that. But I think the dam is about to break on the Democrat side of the aisle. I think Schumer was feeling the heat in his meetings, because now you've got all these public employee unions that have been speaking out against the Democrats and their shutdown of government. So maybe the dam's about to break, or maybe the Democrats are holding on because they have to keep feeding the radical left-wing monster that they've created, and they need that radical left to show up for the Commie Mamdani on November 4th and in these other big races on the East Coast. So maybe they're going to hold out till November 4th. Consequences be damned. We'll see. We'll find out. All right, Montana Talks live from the Capitol in Washington, D.C., and big thanks to Americans for Prosperity Montana for making it happen. Back right after this.
It's October 29th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is Cat Day, created by Colleen Page, a strong animal welfare advocate to bring attention to the plight of the domestic cat. Shortly after this day was created, it was adopted by the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. On this day in 1977, at the age of 77, and nearly four decades after he became the first American to orbit the Earth, U.S. Senator John Glenn is launched into space again as a payload specialist aboard the Space Shuttle Discovery. At the time, he was the oldest human ever to travel into space, surpassed by 90-year-old actor William Shatner, who traveled briefly into space on the Blue Origin rocket in 2021. The World Scrabble Championship is won for the fourth time by New Zealand-Malaysian Nigel Richards with the word "groutier," which means surly or bad-tempered. Born on this day in 1972, American actress Gabrielle Union. I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Hey, Dad, how do airplanes fly? What's in this box? Is this tree good for climbing? How are babies made? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Talking to them about gun safety in your home is a good first step, but you can do more. Always keep your guns locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Aaron Flint here. It is so great to catch up now with Brent Gardner, the Chief Government Affairs Officer for Americans for Prosperity. Brent, first off, I got to say, man, I've done a ton of events with your crew, with Americans for Prosperity Montana, from the field crew to your state director, your deputy state director. What a great group of freedom fighters you've got out in Montana.
Yeah, I mean, you pretty much said it all, but I mean, from everything from Tim Sheehy to working an aggressive legislative agenda, they're some of the best we got.
So talk about some of your, well, before we get to your legislative priorities, I got to start here. So Jesse Ramos and I, we just went to the United States Senate, but we just got to see Vice President J.D. Vance. He came out of the Republican Senate luncheon, and then we caught up with Senator Steve Daines. Man, it sounds like Chuck Schumer is in a world of hurt right now. The unions are piling on him. Some Democrats are starting to get squirrely. So we'll see what happens with this whole Schumer shutdown.
Yeah, I mean, look, Democrats own this one. And frankly, some of the things that they've been saying in the recent weeks have just been absolutely insane, saying that acknowledging that a shutdown hurts some families, but that this is their opportunity for leverage. Chuck Schumer saying that, you know, every day this gets better for us. I think these are the types of statements that are by people who don't truly care about this country and what's happening to it. And they've been willing to play politics with American families and American lives. So, yeah, the time is long past due. And I think it's time to reopen the government.
And to quote, what was it, Third Eye Blind in the 1990s? What are we fighting for? What are they even fighting for? Health care for illegal aliens?
Yeah, I mean, the other one is, you know, if you're looking at Democrats, so you've had a bad day. You know, the camera don't lie. I mean, there's plenty of 90s songs written about where we are today. But, you know, I also think that it's, you know, it's time to move past where we're at. I mean, there's just too much business to be done for the American people. And kudos to the president and the administration. They're still doing a lot of really strong things internationally. But, you know, it's still kind of a domestic embarrassment back home. And if you're a voter,
Fox News comes,
you know, in a place represented by one of these Democrats, the time is today to reach out to them and tell them, get it done. Like, let's get this government reopened and get back to the business of the American people.
Speaking of the business for the American people, I know you guys were big supporters of some very important provisions in the One Big Beautiful Bill. Talk about some of your legislative priorities right now once the train gets back up and running here.
Yeah, One Big Beautiful Bill was excellent, but really, truthfully, you know, as we know, we really have a lot of work to still do. I think probably one of the biggest ones out there is on permitting. I think there's a, you know, we continue to see the impact of big government being a boot on the neck of the American innovator, the American business, and the American family. And one of the biggest challenges that we face today is we've created regulatory schemes that keep us from being able to take the kind of innovation America's been known for and translate it into the kind of success and prosperity that we know Americans deserve. And so an opportunity to look for a true bipartisan opportunity to you know, ensure that we can unlock America's energy potential, unlock our business potential, and ensure that businesses have an opportunity to continue to help America lead the world when it comes to innovation.
We're talking about everything from unleashing American energy, a big issue back home, fixing our forests. In fact, Senator Tim Sheehy, a big part of that effort as an aerial firefighter himself, working with Chairman Westerman on the House side. You guys are taking on all these issues, and oftentimes there's a state component to this as well.
Yeah, and it helps to have an ally up there like Tim Sheehy. I mean, certainly the senator came in, sleeves already rolled up and ready to work. Senator Steve Daines also, obviously, just another great champion on these issues. But, you know, I think one of the great things is a hallmark of the representatives of the West is they're not quiet. They're active on this. They know how critical it is that we manage our natural resources, but we ensure that they're resources and that they're there and available for the American people to use and to benefit this country. And so, yeah, we've got a lot of work to do on this. I mean, things like NEPA, you know, some of the challenges that we've seen around energy permitting, the ability to get these projects done and to market, the ability to limit, you know, in size and scope, some of the legal processes which have been allowed to tie up projects for, you know, multiple years and decades in some case. You know, the time is now, and I think there's enough recognition on both sides that this is a good opportunity to get it done.
Our talk radio listeners all across Montana, they always ask me, whenever we're talking big issues, they say, okay, Aaron, well, what can we do? What do you want us to do? Because they don't want to just talk about this stuff. They want to do something about it.
Yeah, I love that. You know, Montana's a land of big sky and long roads. And it's a great opportunity to reach out and call your representative. It's a great opportunity to call family and friends and engage them in this. Truthfully, a citizen-led activism is, I think, what's gotten us to the point where we are today, on the precipice of the ability to change things where they are. So it's about activating people. It's about motivating people. It's about sharing with your elected officials how critical it is that we get these reforms done and get them done today. Some of these projects, once they get approved, they have a long lead time. But in that lead time, it means American jobs. It means, you know, money in the pockets of American families and access to the type of resources that we're so lucky to have here in America. So I encourage those folks to take the time that they have and, you know, find a way that they can contribute to this by engaging more people. Join Americans for Prosperity in our efforts. And I think there's a lot that we could do together.
Brent Gardner, Americans for Prosperity. Great to see you. Thanks for hosting us.
Thanks so much for coming in.
Yeah, and by the way, shout out to our sponsor, Americans for Prosperity, driving change from the ground up with community leaders, volunteers, and everyday Americans who want to see smarter government and real results. Yeah, we've got about a minute to go here before the break, and then we're going to catch up with Montana Congressman Troy Downing. We are broadcasting live from Capitol Hill. Big thanks to Senator Steve Daines. We're using his office conference room right now as we speak. Jesse Ramos, yeah, what did Brent talk about there that kind of stood out to you looking back on our conversation at the Freedom Embassy yesterday?
Yeah, so I think that the main thing that stood out is that this whole shutdown is being made over Obamacare subsidies that were supposed to expire anyways. They were supposed to expire. Why did the Democrats pass these and vote to sunset them if they had no intention to sunset them? Isn't that kind of strange?
Yeah. The reason the COVID subsidy is going away is because the COVID went away, basically, right? And so, and yeah, their own bill called for these things to go away. It was only supposed to be temporary. And so, but then on top of that, they're fighting to give our taxpayer dollars to illegal aliens. And that's what Schumer is shutting down the government over. It is just absolutely insane all around. All right, quick break. We're going to catch up with Congressman Troy Downing from the Montana Congressional Eastern District here right after this with Montana Talks live from Capitol Hill.
Fox Sports Update.
I get that it's easy to write Ohtani versus Guerrero. To us, it's Toronto versus Los Angeles. But that swing was huge.
There's a fly ball to deep left center field. Headed back there. It is gone. Vlad Jr. gives the Jays the lead. The franchise face putting the team on his back.
You know what I mean? That a sweeper is a pitch designed to generate pop-ups, in my opinion. And the swing that Vlad put on it was elite. And after last night and kind of all the recognition that went into Shohei individually, and he's on the mound today, it's a huge swing from Vlad. It's a huge swing to get us going.
I tell you, this guy's amazing, and he's ready for everything. I mean, this is the first mistake that Ohtani has made.
And I think that gives you some momentum, and Shohei settled in, struck out quite a few. The swing from Vlad was game-changer.
And the Blue Jays have tied this series up. After the gut-wrenching loss last night that might have just wiped a lesser team off, the Blue Jays bounce back and win it 6-2. Very impressive.
World Series Game 4 on Fox TV started last night, and it ended last night. No extra innings, unlike the evening before when the Dodgers beat the Blue Jays in 18 innings. In half as many frames, Toronto took Game 4 by a 6-2 count. Shohei Ohtani charged with 4 earned runs in 6-plus innings. Now the first team to win 2 more games will be World Series champs. Game 5 is tonight at Dodger Stadium. Last home game for the Dodgers this year. The series goes to Toronto for Game 6 Friday. Starting pitchers tonight, Blake Snell for Los Angeles and Trey Savage for Toronto. NBA reigning champion Oklahoma City Thunder improved to 5-0. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander scored 31 points in OKC's 107-101 win over Sacramento. I'm Jared Max.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and foxsports.com.
This week,
from Mondakistan to the Flathead,
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Jesse, you like that Mondakistan promo that you just heard right there?
I do. I'd never heard Mondakistan before.
Oh, man. Yeah, flip that microphone up just a little bit more. Yeah, so this was funny. We were catching up. One of the people we caught up with earlier this morning, Senator Steve Daines, brought his friend, North Dakota Senator Kevin Cramer, over to see us and join us. And so he loved the Mondakistan tagline as well. So that was fun. Yeah. That was fun.
Never heard it.
All right. Well, let's jump right into it now. It was so great. So the Montana Coffee just wrapped up a little bit ago, and it's so great to see so many Montanans here, members of the delegation. We got to see Congressman Troy Downing's crew here as well. Congressman Troy Downing now joining us on the show. Congressman, you got to listen into a little bit of our earlier coverage and conversations. What stood out to you? And great to have you on the show.
Well, I mean, what an opportunity to be able to run into the vice president in the hallway. So I was listening to that a little bit and his talk about trade and tariffs. And I think he's spot on. I think it was a good message to be out there. I'm sure it was interesting for you guys to you plan this well in advance and to show up when the house is shut down. But great opportunity to run into other people and have those conversations. But, you know, obviously, you know, what everybody's talking about right now is, when is this Schumer shutdown going to end and how much pain is Schumer willing to put on the American people, American federal workers and, you know, farmers and ranchers and everybody who depend on these programs that are shut down? How much pain is he willing to put on the American people because he is personally afraid to primary a bartender? I mean, I just don't understand this.
Yeah. You would think it's about time for last call with the AOC Schumer showdown, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I'm not to make light of it. I mean, this is a serious issue. I mean, it's expensive, it's disruptive, it hurts people, it hurts families. I was at the airport in Helena talking to the folks over there, air traffic control and TSA folks who are, now expected to work without getting paychecks. And, the argument that some people will say they're going to get paid anyway, they're going to get paid in arrears. You know, people need to understand a lot of these families, they need their paychecks now. A lot of folks, really to pay their mortgages, to buy groceries, to do, they need their paychecks now. And it's not as simple as just knowing that they're going to get paid in arrears to say that everything's okay, because it's not okay. And what about the, farmers and ranchers that are not getting their disaster relief? What about, all the things out there that are happening? And what really is driving me crazy about this whole thing is the rhetoric coming from them. I mean, they basically admitted that this is a political tool and not about policy. With the messages you've gotten, I know it's been repeated, but with Chuck Schumer saying every day gets better for us. Yeah, it gets better for you, you think. And I think the American people, as we've seen in recent polling, they're starting to, favor the Republican side of this because they see the, tomfoolery being, done by the other side, or, the Democratic aides saying, we're going to keep doing this, we're not going to concede until planes start falling out of the sky. Or that from the minority whip, Catherine Clark, saying, these are causing families to suffer. She admits this is causing families to suffer. And then she says, but this is one of the few leveraged times we have. That's not the right answer. I mean, just get this through. This is their policy. This was, a continuation of their spending bill to give 7 scant weeks, and now obviously a lot less, to get through the appropriations process, which is, for a good part, a lot of that's done. These bills have come out of the House, come out of the Senate. They need to reconcile those two bills. And that debate needs to happen. That's where, that's where these this policy sees the light of day, where you've got stakeholders and you've got members of both the House and the Senate debating what needs to stay in, what needs to change, what we need to do in policy that affects the American people, not as a ransom note to the American people that we're not going to open up the government and we're going to make you suffer unless you give us this $1.5 trillion spending bill without any debate, any negotiations. We're just going to throw it out there, shut everything down, make you suffer. We know we're making you suffer, but it's the only political tool we have right now. I think it's just, it's, it's just a horrible situation. Yeah. And I think the pressure,
you can see it here. You can feel it here. You know, back in Montana, I think, you know, most folks who, you know, hey, we go about our day-to-day business, our day-to-day lives, our day-to-day jobs. But you're right. You can see it on the faces of the TSA agents when I was flying out here. You can see it on the faces of the Capitol Police officers that are forced to work without pay. You can see it. I mean, the city is very quiet and a lot of people are losing a lot of money. Restaurants are losing money. But the SNAP benefits, I mean, I just thought it was so, frankly, tasteless of these legislative Democrats in the state legislature in Montana to call on the governor to do something about SNAP benefits. It's like, why don't you pick up the phone and call on your fellow Democrats to end the Schumer shutdown and get back to work? But how much of it, too, do you think is really the Democrats just trying to block all the progress? Because, you know, House Republicans, you guys are really getting the job done. You're getting job done on single subject appropriations bills like we haven't seen in a long time. You're getting the job done, you know, across the board. And they just want to bring it to a halt because they want to block progress.
Absolutely. I think that's a lot of it. I really, what it comes down to is I think that the Democrats, for a large part, and there may be some exceptions, but they just want to see Trump fail. Anything that Trump is trying to get, they see everything happening right now, a reflection on Trump. And if they can cause a failure to the Trump administration, no matter how much it hurts the American people, that's a win for them. But, you know, some of the things that we're starting to see change the tide here is the American worker is waking up and understanding that the Democrats are not the party of the American worker. And you see most recently the AFGE is the country's largest union representing federal workers is now calling for them to pass this short-term spending measure. So they're starting to lose a big part of their base on this messaging. I think this thing's going to blow up in their face because most normal people can see that this is a political game that they're playing with the livelihoods and success of the American people.
Well, and Jesse Ramos, isn't it interesting too that the Democrats have already been losing so much ground with the private sector unions because their anti-American energy, their anti-mining approach, and now they're pissing off the public employee unions. Jesse Ramos with AFP Montana, you know, you were just at this energy summit. What question or comment would you throw out for Congressman Downing here?
Yeah, so Congressman, always good to talk to you. So moving on past the shutdown, hopefully we can get through this. You were at the Energy Summit as well and gave an incredible speech. What are some things that need to be done, such as the Speed Act and the Fix Our Forest Act? We had Chairman Westerman on to actually get Montana logging and mining and energy up and off the ground again after 40 years of delays for some of these projects.
How many hours do we have here? Well, I'll just tell you that we have had a lot of wins. We've had a lot of good policy coming out here. I think that Chairman Westerman's Fix Our Forest Act, that was great to see that succeed. I voted for that. But everything, that you just talked about, making sure that we're getting rid of the anti-energy executive orders and policies that came from the Biden administration. And, we've had some wins on that. I had a CRA, which was HJ Res 104, that undid the Biden administration's complete disapproval of mining coal in the Powder River Basin. So, we undid that. Basically, a CRA gave us the ability to just say it was congressional disapproval of those rules so that we can, open that up. It's 30% of the American coal reserves. There was another one that the president did a EO on, and I've got a bill to codify, and this is it's called the Coal Power Act that I've introduced. And the Biden administration changed the match rules, the mercury and air toxin rules, to where they have been, for years, and increased it specifically to target coal strip to make sure that it was economically unfeasible to continue burning coal in the power plants and coal strip. So I've got an act there to undo that. You're talking about the Fix Our Forest Act. Also, we saw the roadless rule being rescinded. I've got the Crow Revenue Act, which will take the federal sections of land up in Signal Peak in the Bull Mountains mine and swap that out with private trust land. So what that does is it makes it so that they can continue mining coal its signal peak and not have to worry about a future administration disallowing federal coal. So it's no longer even on the, you know, on the field anymore, because it would no longer be federal coal. So I've got that in the hopper to try to get that done. We've got a temporary executive order to allow mining that federal coal. But what we worry about is not what the president is doing. That's been very pro-energy. We've never had such a pro-energy president, and we're obviously taking advantage of that. But, you know, all of these executive orders are fungible with a future administration. So we're going through
codifying it all. So much progress. That just gives you a taste of what the Democrats are trying to block. They'll take away your food stamps to block all that progress. If our Democrat friends are listening out there right now, about a minute to go here, Congressman Downing, beef. You know, the vice president got an earful about beef yesterday. I know you sent a detailed letter to the administration as well. What do you want to tell our folks with about a minute to go?
Well, I just want to say that we're watching out for you. We're listening. We are going out there and talking to all of our beef producers. And this is one of the times that all of the beef groups are on the same page. And we've reached out. I've spoken to the administration several times on this issue, and understanding that we're concerned about bringing foreign beef into the market to start pushing prices down at the grocery store. What we need to do here is we need to start rebuilding the herd. We need to grow back the herd. We need to look domestically for that production. And I think we're going to thread this needle fine. The administration has heard us. There's a group of us that are still talking to them to make sure that the administration understands how important it is for the safety and viability of our food supply to continue developing American beef and not start building, you know, bigger bridges and bringing it in from somewhere else.
All right. Well said, Congressman Troy Downing. Great to catch up with you. We'll catch up again soon, as always. Quick break here with Montana Talks live from the U.S. Capitol here this morning. And thanks to our friends from Americans for Prosperity Montana making it happen.
Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
A message from FireSafe Montana. With the large number of homes being built in the wildland urban interface, it is the responsibility of the homeowner to use ignition-resistant materials. Many buildings in a wildfire are burned from the roof down. Consider using a metal or asphalt roofing material. The siding of a home is subject to extremely high heat during a fire. Look into the use of stone, stucco, or cement board. Contact FireSafe Montana for more information. This message brought to you by FireSafe Montana and aired by the Montana Broadcasters Association.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, this is great. So yesterday afternoon, Jesse Ramos and I, we were at the Freedom Embassy. It's Americans for Prosperity's kind of Capitol Hill Freedom Embassy location. Great coffee there, by the way. And we caught up with a longtime Montana friend, an incredible Montana politico, Jason Thielman, who was chief of staff to Senator Steve Daines for a long time. He was the executive director for the National Republican Senatorial Committee, with really one of the most incredibly successful election cycles a long time, frankly. And Jason Thielman ran all that. And so we got a chance to catch up with him. And we were just going to play that interview. And then in walks in. Really an incredible individual. You guys know Stephen Miller, the great Stephen Miller, right? White House Deputy Chief of Staff. He's been with President Trump since day one. He's been on the stage at Trump rallies back in Montana since day one. Well, you probably also now know his incredible wife, Katie Miller, who is in the house with us right now. Katie, great to see you again.
Thanks, Aaron. Good to be here. Back in Steve Daines' office that I worked in 2014, 2015.
Was it that long ago?
Yes.
My goodness. Yeah. Yeah. So I've, you know, been on the radio since 2009. And so, yeah, you and I worked very closely together, getting Senator Steve Daines on the radio, you know, getting news and information from Washington. You were basically his press secretary, communications director, if I remember right. And now I'm seeing you on Sean Hannity all the time. And but boy, I tell you what, you know, you and Stephen, what a team the two of you are.
I always make a joke, but Stephen and I met after I left Steve Dane's office. I went to the Department of Homeland Security, where we were working to secure the border in Trump's first term. And that's where I met my husband, and we fell in love over immigration. Just how everyone thinks it went that way. And now we have three kids later. We've been married for 5 years. I joke that I had kids in the off season, which was in between President Trump's first term and second term. And now here we are with three kids making America great again in Trump's second term.
It's so incredible. And you've got your new podcast that you're launching now as well.
I do. I'm in my third month of the Katie Miller podcast. It's available everywhere you get a podcast, whether that be Apple, Spotify, YouTube, Rumble, X as well. Can never forget X. What we do is aim to bring a mix of culture and real world to high profile, whether that be celebrities in art and music, politics, to the American people, and especially to young women who feel that the call her daddy doesn't relate to them because it doesn't share their morals and values, right? She had an episode with Charlize Theron on Here's Why I'm Waiting to Have Children. My own life says you shouldn't wait to have children. Having a spouse and family makes your life richer, better, stronger, and has enriched my career, not diminished it. You know, we see with Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce that they're getting engaged at the culmination of their adult lives, not the beginning. We would have a better birthright in our country and more live births if kids got married younger, because that's what our bodies are meant to do. They're not meant to have kids in our 40s. I also think you're a better parent when you have kids younger, and maybe you can have more of them. But what I would say is that, you know, if we're able to bring these relatable lives of people who we idolize and show that they too go through the same struggles, that they too have had these same questions, and you can be the CEO of the NASDAQ and have kids at 24 and 25, like Adina Friedman, who I've had on my podcast, or next week we're taping with Charlotte Jones of the Dallas Cowboys, which will be very exciting, and her and how she raised her kids while running the greatest, you know, show on earth, which I believe is the Dallas Cowboys, right? And so that's what the podcast is meant to do. It is this mix of bringing these high profile women and telling the world about how they were able to do it. Because when I was going through tough times, when I go through tough times as a mother, you always want to know about somebody else who shared that experience with you, because it keeps you going and it makes it where you don't feel so alone. And I think that's the problem with motherhood right now, is people feel very isolated, and motherhood should not feel isolating. As I like to say, the village ain't cheap. But, you know, if other people online can be that village for each other, then that's what it's all about.
Jesse Ramos, were you at the Montana GOP convention when Stephen Miller spoke back in 2024, maybe actually heading in it, maybe it was 2023, even before 2024 got into cycle? I mean, man, yep. Just powerful, powerful speaker. He says what needs to be said. I mean, there is hardly a politico like him.
No, there's not. And it was absolutely incredible hearing your husband in Montana. And he said, and I took it to heart, I think Americans for Prosperity Action, we put in over $10 million in the she raised. Your husband said that the Senate majority went through Montana, and my goodness, was he ever right. We got John Tester out, we got Bernie Moreno in, and we got Dave McCormick in Pennsylvania. And thank goodness.
What's it like being married to Stephen Miller? And if he was here, we'd ask him, what's it like being married to Katie Miller, of course, because you are both powerhouses.
No, I take no offense. I'm very proud to be my husband's wife. We are very much a team. He is the best father, a hands-on father, who is home by dinner, if not shortly thereafter, who is making breakfast for our kids before he goes to work in the morning and FaceTimes our kids throughout the day. He is every bit of the man he preaches that other men should be. He is that in our personal lives. You know, it is the same that we uphold the values that he talks about in our home, which is so critically important, whether that he's overseas and I'm calling him saying, our AC doesn't work, can you help me? You know, waking him up in the middle of the night in Japan. That's our latest humor of the week, I guess. But it is the same where I had gone on CNN yesterday and I was on with Jake Tapper. And I wake him up also, and probably the middle of the night, and I was like, hello, can you prep me for this interview? Because that's what a spouse does, right? They lift you up, they make you better, you rely on their advice more so than anybody else. And my husband is the first person to be there for me, like he is for so many Americans.
I get my best material from my wife, Jessica. I'm like, ooh, I'm using that one. That's a good one. Yeah.
And Stephen very much, in his core, believes what he says publicly and lives those values. And so why has he been with President Trump so long? It's because he believes in the man President Trump is and his values of making America a better place, whether that be from our economy to the border, right? Those are the core values that honestly get all of us very excited, right? I'm the one screaming, 4 more years.
I've got to think you guys don't read normal bedtime stories to your kids. Like, it's probably like a classic American novels or something like that. Yeah.
We do pick up the old 1960s, 1970s books that I buy on eBay, because I believe anything really printed or read after 1990 is not worth much. Our general rule in our households that our kids can watch a movie, but it had to have been created before 1993, because I say 1993, I think, is The Little Mermaid or Lion King or something like that. But generally, it's the slower frame rate, and it's, you know, before the world went woke.
Yeah, yeah. So he must be on the Asia trip with President Trump this week as we speak.
He is on the Asia trip. I don't think he's ever missed an international trip with the president in all of his travels, right? In the first term, my husband was the president's primary speechwriter in addition to being a senior advisor for policy. Now Stephen's role has shifted to being the Homeland Security Advisor in addition to the Deputy Chief of Staff for Policy, which is a very large, all-encompassing role. But, you know, his primary focus is keeping our cities, keeping America safe for Americans to be able to push a stroller down the street without fear of being shot. It's about making D.C. safe so you don't feel like you're going to be carjacked when you can bring your kids to our monuments. And so many of my friends did not do that during the Biden years.
And yet you look at everything he's doing, you're doing to make America safe again, securing our borders, the El Diablo, this cartel operative who was forcing C-sections on women so she could traffic their children for the cartels. This was one of the latest things that was exposed. Everything you guys are doing to make America safe again, and yet you are facing so much risk to your own personal lives right now. Here's your husband. He's traveling all over the world. And yet you are specifically being threatened by these radical leftists right now. And yet you stay in the fight for this country.
I would say the threat perspective and the threat landscape has only increased since the murder of our dear friend Charlie Kirk. And which is, you know, as you see everyone on CNN and MSDNC saying, oh, you know, we should take this time to slow down our rhetoric and this should be a safe place for all. It's those who have the lawn signs that say hate has no home here who are the most hateful. It's those who claim to be the tolerant left are the least tolerant. You know, you come across every day, it's like, who are the people who doxed us, right? Who passed out flyers at the metro in my kids' parks that have our home address, that have photos of my children? And what is their motivation? Why are they doing it 9:30 a.m. in the morning after Charlie was murdered? You can come to very quick conclusions for what their goals are, right? It's not because they just want to have their voice heard. It's a much more darker, nefarious action that they're trying to have on my family. And what I say to that is that we're not going to tolerate that. There'll be no place for that, trust me. But we are not going to sit by and have my children's lives in danger because of the actions of other people. And no sane parent would allow that to happen. But everyone will have their day in court, I'm very sure.
Yeah, and you just can't let these terrorists win. And that's who they are. These are domestic terrorists. And it's so great that we have leaders like the Miller family leading this country right now. Quick break here on Montana Talks. And then, we've got Senator Jim Risch out of Idaho is going to be kicking off the 9 o'clock hour, plus our conversation with Senator Steve Daines and Senator Tim Sheehy. Katie, 30 seconds before the break. What, man, how incredible is it to have a Senator Tim Sheehy instead of a Senator John Tester right now?
It's very nice to have a Republican-led Senate, right? Because what you're seeing is not only the confirmation of President Trump's appointees, but a general refocus of the Senate and of our country to these Republican ideals that they voted for when they voted to elect Donald Trump to be our president. Because if you're not having a Republican-led Senate, House, and White House, we're not all marching in the same direction that President Trump said we would be going in.
All right, quick break here on Montana Talks. Back to Senator Steve Daines' office as we broadcast live from Capitol Hill. Back right after this.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
The president must make the decision, and the courts can hold pardons void if the decisions are made by others. The committee recommends the DOJ investigate all of Biden's executive actions, particularly clemency actions, to assess whether legal action can be taken to void any action the former president did not, in fact, make himself. You realize this is the biggest cover-up scandal that they're exposing in American history, that we had a president of the United States that they knew and they covered up was incapable of doing their job. But we did know, didn't we? Some of us told you the truth. Many of them lied.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
There's a reason I'm so proud of our partnership with Pure Talk, my wireless company, a veteran-owned company, because they don't just talk the talk, they walk the walk when it comes to supporting our vets. It's a veteran-owned company. This month, Pure Talk is choosing to support Canines for Warriors. Now, this is an incredible organization that rescues and trains dogs, pairs them with veterans that are struggling, for example, with PTSD. Canines for Warriors gives these heroes a purpose. It gives them companionship and healing. That's exactly why Pure Talk, a veteran-led company, supports them. Now, choose a wireless company that shares your values. Remember, you're going to get unlimited talk and text and plenty of data, $25 a month. Average family saves over $1,000 a year. You get the exact same service as the big carriers, same cell tower, same 5G network. Just dial #250, say the keyword save now, and make the switch. #250, keyword save now, switch today to America's wireless company, Pure Talk. Talk.
Fox rocks.
I'm Monica DeLuca. Renee Rapp is postponing the final dates of her Bite Me tour. The singer announced on social media, quote, "I've been pushing through an illness, but my body has finally given out," noting that she needs to rest her voice. The gigs were originally planned for Sunday in Atlanta and Monday in Florida, but will now be November 4th and 5th. All original tickets will be honored for the new dates. And Kevin Jonas is releasing his solo debut single called Changing. This Joe Bros new song will officially drop November 20th as the Jonas Brothers 20th anniversary tour continues. While Kevin started out in the band with his younger brothers, Nick and Joe, in 2005, the group's other members began to venture out by 2011. That's Fox Rocks on Fox News.
Watch out!
You got me!
The galaxy is safe once again.
In the pretend universe, kids play with pretend guns. In the real world, it's up to us to make sure they don't get their hands on a real gun. If you have a gun in the house, keep it locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Montana, meet.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, this is so great. Katie's like, hey, I got to run. I got to go to this Piers Morgan interview. But then our good friend, Senator Steve Daines, hops in and says, hey, I got to talk about Katie Miller here for a second. Of course, Senator, we're in your house. So it's great to see you.
Listen, yeah. The first time I met Katie Miller, I was living in a trailer as it relates to my temporary accommodation. Because when you come to the U.S. Senate, your offices aren't ready to go yet. And so this young staffer, fresh from the National Republican Senatorial Committee, running comms for, 14 races, I think, Katie?
Yes.
14 races. I said, if you can run 14 Senate races, you can run one Senate shop.
Yeah.
So she shows up in my temporary accommodation, the trailer, and I meet this young, very talented. I knew this is a rock star here. So my only claim to fame I have, Aaron, other than being married to Cindy, a father four, and grandfather now to seven, is we put Katie Miller to work here on Capitol Hill. And well, I remember watching her.
I remember her from back then. She was tough back then. I mean, she would just lay it out for people, especially if there was some far-left reporter trying to talk some nonsense or something. Don't mess with, well, it was Katie Waldman then, Katie Miller now. Don't mess with her then, don't mess with her now.
Well, don't mess with Katie, don't mess with her husband either.
Yeah.
I will say that's why I went to work for Steve Daines all those years ago. Was that he came to the NRSC when he would come into town while he was running to be a senator, right? He's a member of Congress. And he was the only guy who would stop at every single junior staffer's desk and thank them for what they were doing. And I'm sure you don't remember that, but I remember that so vividly, is that he would come to all the junior staff desks and thank them for the work they were doing. No other member would do that. And I said, that's the guy that I want to put in the hard work for.
Well,
you're not running for governor of California, I take it.
Well, Katie, we were so thankful that she said yes, joined our team, and she was really the beginning of my time in the U.S. Senate, and one of the most important people that you hire on your team is your chief of staff and comms.
And I didn't realize, I mean, we always knew Katie was on for great things, but we watched her progression when, next thing I know, she's being recruited by the West Wing, Trump 45, serves in that capacity. And then I think you ran across a guy named Stephen Miller in the West Wing.
When I was at Homeland Security, we met actually in the Roosevelt Room. He doesn't remember this. Of course, I remember this. And we actually fell in love when he was prepping me for a Breitbart radio interview.
A Breitbart radio interview. Nice.
Oh, my word.
Nice.
Talk about the ultimate conservative romance right there.
And the ultimate badge of honor I wear in Montana politics is that the New York Times had recently done a profile of me. And Tom Lutie gave a quote that said I had a machine gun style, which I feel like in Montana is just a badge of honor.
It is. Now, we call you blessed. If you have a machine gun style, we call you blessed back home.
I was going to say, that's a great compliment.
It is. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Tom, I've enjoyed chatting with Tom over the years. About a minute and a half or so to go here. We've been just having some fun too, talking about, you know, what your grandkids are wearing for Halloween costumes. Katie's got the kids getting ready for Halloween and everything like that.
I'll talk about our grandkids back home in Montana, but Katie, tell me where you're going trick-or-treating.
We are going trick-or-treating at the White House tomorrow evening, which will be very exciting. But I will say this, since we're on Montana radio, my favorite trip I've ever taken to this day was Eastern Montana with Steve Daines.
Oh, you got to love Eastern Montana.
Well, you know, I had to help my staffers because they come to Los Angeles, in my hometown of Bozeman. They get to East Maine, they think they're in Eastern Montana. I said, no. We're headed to Ekalaka, and that's...
We had no cell service in Ekalaka for 24 hours.
Some people are like, oh, I've been to Eastern Montana, I've been to Billings. Keep going.
Actually, my staffers think that when they go to Plonk in Bozeman, it's east of the Arbarg, they think they're in Eastern Montana. I tell them, no, never mind.
Although I do love the R Bar because you definitely feel like you're in Eastern Montana.
Well, that's the closest thing we have in Bozeman. That's the remnant of Eastern Montana.
It's a good time because I think a lot of Eastern Montana people are hanging out there.
You know, I did the first wedding at the R Bar, by the way.
Really?
Ever, yeah. McCray's wedding. You know, Montana. Yeah. I did the first wedding. I asked Mike Kobe, I said, Mike, have you ever had a wedding at the R Bar? I officiated the wedding. And Mike says, we've never had a wedding at the R Bar, but plenty of divorces.
Well, and Jim McCray, he's done so much for Warriors and Quiet Waters based right there in the Bozeman
area. Another good
bobcat
there, Jim McCray. Great.
Yeah. All right. Well, we got about 20 seconds before
I got to go to the finance committee hearing.
They're pulling you. You got a finance committee.
So I'd say two of our grandkids, they farm there in the Gallatin Valley. They're going, my granddaughter's going as a carrot, and her brother's going as a tractor.
That's great. All right. Senator, thanks for popping in. Thanks.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect, beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking. The list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.